We are Rogue Media Sports.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Dogs are an important part of our lives. That means protecting them from parasites. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus, afoxolaner, moxidectin, and pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're delicious and easy to give. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive. Ask about NexGard Plus Chews.
All right, it is the Doomsday Podcast. Ed Werder, Matt Mosley, in the aftermath of the Cowboys' 43-20 win over the Rams. It looked like it could even be worse as the Cowboys race out to a 33-3 lead.
It was bad enough. It was Sean McVay's second worst defeat. I think he lost 45-9 to the Ravens a few years ago. So, you know, he became a new father this week. So he told me that he was going to be a little sleep deprived. Well, I imagine the baby's just one of two things keeping him awake this week. The performance of his football team will be the other one.
Yeah, and he kind of joked about the lack of sleep this week. And once he started looking at the Cowboys defense, he thought, well, she could just go back to the hospital. But and they tried to kind of climb back in it. I think, Ed, and we'll talk about it more, but it's kind of funny. I got to talk to Jerry after the game.
By yourself?
By the time we were finished, there were maybe a couple more people, but mostly me. And he wouldn't talk about the Eagles. Eagles survived today against the Commanders, and that gets their record 7-1 on the year. And then obviously got a game up with coming up with the Cowboys. And Jerry, for once, just said, I don't want to poke the bear, and kind of refused to talk about it. And Ed, you were in with Dak. Dak seemed taken aback by hearing that Jerry wouldn't talk about it. And Dak was not. He did not take a similar tack, did he?
And Mike McCarthy said something when he was asked if he is comfortable with where his team is going into this Philadelphia game. He said, I like where we are, and who we play next is irrelevant. And so as much as they tried to downplay the significance of next week's game, I think the players, you know, spoke directly to the issue, knowing that 3 weeks ago in a big game, they were handled, played their worst game in a lot, you know, suffered their worst loss in terms of scoreboard in Dak's career, 8-year career to the 49ers. And they're eager to get back and go play a big game at Philadelphia, a place where they've known some level of success, even when Philadelphia's had good teams. I thought it was funny that J'Ron Kearse said, I talked to D-Law and I talked to Micah before the game, and we said, let's come out here and get this game over with quick because we know what's ahead of us next week. So the Eagles were on their mind, the players' mind, even before they took the field against the Rams. They wanted to dominate the game and get their star players out early, which they accomplished both of those objectives. And Dak said, you know, he was pretty open about it too. He said something like, hey, I know the kind of men we have. I know the week, the way we'll prepare. I'm looking forward to going to Philadelphia.
Yeah. I also had the line about the the bear.
The honey.
If you see me in a fight with a bear, pour honey on me. I've heard different variations of that. You know, go help the bear is one of them. If you see me in a fight with the bear, go help the bear, something along those lines. But interesting stuff. It is Mosley and Werder. Just about an hour after the game, as we tape the Doomsday Podcast, and we are overlooking AT&T Stadium from a beautiful suite. Thank you to the Nation family, Jim and Sally Nation, and also great donors and benefactors over there at DBU, Dallas Baptist University. Stephen Simcox, our fearless producer for the last several weeks, please, sir, play the music. All right, it is the New Faith Podcast. We talked a little bit about Dak. Let's start right there, Ed. 25 of 31, 304 yards, and four touchdowns. I think in the aftermath of the really poor performance against the 49ers, one thing Jerry tried to do, and I knew he would do it, I think on this podcast we predicted it, you know, it's a circle the wagons moment. They talked about how much their quarterback gives them the best hope and the best chance. And of course, until he does it in these huge games, that's when it really matters. But to come in here and perform like he did today, Ed, it was kind of funny though. Sack. You know, like early, it's like, this could
sack
be
three of the first four plays. Only two of them counted because the other one on third down went away because of the illegal contact penalty in the secondary, which didn't really seem to affect the play. And then the Cowboys go down and finish the drive, and Dak throws a touchdown pass to I think it was the tight end, Jake Ferguson.
Yeah.
An outstanding catch, a great ball placement from Dak. But, yeah, I think the thing that's happened that I'm most struck by that we've seen since that 49er loss was, you know, Dak talked of this week when I was out there at the Star about, you know, spending some time, introspectively examining what he was contributing and feeling like there was more he could do offensively. And the thing he decided that he could bring to the offense was using his mobility like he did early in his career. And that's something we talked about early. I think I even said, I think he's a diminished player as a quarterback when he's not running for first downs, when he's not getting outside the pocket and extending plays. And now the last two games, he's made a point of doing that, a conscious decision to do that. And against the Chargers, he has a RPO for the longest touchdown run of his entire career. He gets out of the pocket, extends a play, throws a 60-yard pass to Tony Pollard. That's the longest play for the Cowboys on offense this year. And then he did it again today. He ran for several first downs. He was out of the pocket and created a play with CeeDee Lamb for a touchdown. So I think if Dak can continue to play that way, it creates more diversity. It makes them harder to defend. And I think that's the direction they want to go. And they did come into this game today as bad as they've been running the football. I mean, Tony Pollard's averaging 3.9 yards a run, which is horrific, given he averages over 5 yards a carry his entire career. They came into this game wanting to throw, knowing that the Rams' best threat on defense is their pass rush, Aaron Donald. And they saw that right from the start. You know, they didn't have Tyron Smith at left tackle, decision made, neck injury he suffered on Thursday, comes out, did a little workout. I mean, it wasn't like coaches and trainers and doctors were watching him. He went out there, he worked out, next thing you know, he's inactive. And they play their backup for the third time this year. And
Chuma Edoga.
And then he gets hurt with an ankle injury, has to be carted off. And they're down to a rookie, Asim Richards. So that's a big question mark, I think, going into Philadelphia next week. Is Tyron Smith going to be healthy enough to play tackle? Or are they going to have to go with a rookie left tackle or consider moving Tyler Smith outside, which is something they're obviously very reluctant to do as a coaching staff. But I just think Dak has become a much more dynamic quarterback, much more resembling the player we saw very early in his career when he was a dual threat. That's what makes him different. That's what makes him unique. And if he can continue to do that and show good judgment, getting out of bounds and protecting himself, then I think the Cowboys can do something on offense.
Yeah, and he acknowledged after the game today all the work that he and CD put in. That's what's led to some of the success. I did see one ball, at least a gallop over on the sideline. And then, of course, Cooks on the had a great move to get free on one of those balls. But it was nice to see him kind of spread the ball around a little bit.
Michael Gallup's.
I think he caught one along the sideline.
Not very much involved. But, and the play to Cooks, if I can interrupt you real quick,
yeah.
I promise it'll be quick. I know most of my comments are not quick. This one will be quick.
Uh-huh.
Dak said that play for the touchdown to Brandon Cooks was a play that Cooks went to McCarthy asking him to put in, guaranteeing him it would succeed.
Oh, nice.
So he's building some credibility with the coaching staff.
I'd let Cooks just call plays from here on out.
I mean, yeah, maybe now if it fails with Mike, they don't go right to Schottenheimer. Maybe Cooks is where that's at.
Cooks. But, I mean, that play, though, Cooks got off the – and then CD had a similar play. It was just like kind of, you know, they set right – won the route right off the line of scrimmage and get open and give Dak a easy throw. The throw you were talking about earlier to Ferguson, I mean, you know, Dak had to put it in a certain spot, put it high. And Ferguson, and watching that play, and you and I both watched it several – we got several monitors here at the stadium. And, I mean, he kind of used one hand to bring it back in, and it was a
very athletic play.
Very. And we've seen him not be able to make those plays early in the season, so that was nice to see. I think Dak, in addition to what you were saying about, you know, being able to run and do some things that, you know, athletic that kind of helps the rest of the team, when he can trust and throw to his tight ends, he just functions at a higher level. And if he can get more confidence. Now, of course, one thing we want to nitpick down there around the goal line, he threw one kind of behind, I think it was McEwen, one of the other tight ends. Ball gets tipped and intercepted.
He got
down
tipped
there
at the line of scrimmage, though. That's why I think it was behind
84.
McEwen,
yeah,
who then reached back with one hand and deflected it into the air. So it was twice deflected and intercepted at the goal line for Dak's fifth interception. But, I mean – he had his first 300-yard passing game of the season, so his first 300-yard passing game with McCarthy calling the plays. Four touchdown passes, so he's now second in Cowboys history to Romo, I think, in that stat. He went to – CeeDee Lamb had the game of his career-high 12 catches. Dak was 12 of 14 targeting CeeDee Lamb in this game. They've connected on 82% of their passes this season. That's tied for the highest mark of any quarterback wide receiver combination in the league with at least 30 attempts. Unbelievably, Bryce Young, the number one overall pick, a rookie, and Adam Thielen, the veteran with the Panthers now, who from Minnesota, are the other two on that list. But I thought the offense was really generally pretty impressive. Not a lot of penalties. The offensive line held up. I think Zach Martin was a lot healthier coming off the bye week than he was going into it with that thigh injury that he had. He was essentially playing on one leg before today's game. So that was a significant. And then, I mean, let's not overlook the fact that the Rams are fit very much the profile that the Cowboys have wiped out at home this year. You know, this is the sixth opponent the Cowboys have played with a under 500 record. And the Cowboys are 5-1 against those teams. And when they've played them here, they've outscored them by those three opponents at home by 78 points. That's the Patriots, the Jets, and now the Rams. And they've created a bunch of turnovers, scored three defensive touchdowns in those games. Deron Bland, how good was Deron Bland? How good has he been since he replaced Trayvon Diggs as a boundary corner, moving out from the slot? Very instinctive guy, good ball skills. And when he gets the ball in his hands, he knows what to do with it. And, how about this for a stat? This is the one that got me. This is the second time this year the Cowboys have scored in all three phases of a game. On offense, defense, and special teams in the same game. They did it against the Giants. They scored touchdowns in all three phases. Today they almost did that because of Kevontae Turpin's 63-yard return, set up a touchdown, didn't quite get to the end zone. If he had, it would have been the second time they scored a touchdown in all three phases. But they're the only team in the NFL that has scored a touchdown in all three phases, and they've done it twice. The last team to do it twice were the 2020 Kansas City Chiefs. So they have playmakers in all three phases. Yeah. And when they're playing,
they've scored in all three phases because one of them was a safety. Phases. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. They scored in all three phases.
I just wanted, you said touchdown in all three.
In the Giants game, they did score a touchdown in all three. In this game, they scored in all three phases. They're the only team to score in all three phases even once. They've done it twice.
Yes, which is remarkable. Sam Williams on the block of the punt, and that goes through. And then, of course, as you said, the subsequent free kick, here comes Turpin with a huge return for 63 yards. And then later in the game, he has an 88-yard punt return for a touchdown negated because of a holding call on Deshaun Wright, which I watched it. It did appear to tackle
did
the
affect
guy.
The play.
Tackle the guy from behind. Ed, I want you to extend a warm welcome. I've been kind of hinting at this, but Hudson Financial Group is back with us, and a complete insurance and business personal consulting group, 35 years in business. Randy Hudson is the owner and founder of this. It is HudsonFinancialGroup.com. HudsonFinancialGroup.com. They do some really cool stuff with the Cowboys. In fact, they'll have like a Cowboys night where they'll have former Cowboys greats. They had Vince Young, not a Cowboys great, but a University of Texas great, show up at that. So, Ed, give a warm welcome to Hudson Financial returning they've been with us in the past to the Doomsday Podcast.
Well, it's great to have them. And I'm just wondering, the first thing that occurred to me when you were talking about their services they provide was, I wonder if they could save my 401k. Bidenomics, I don't think is quite going the way that Joe thinks it's going based on the returns I'm seeing. So I might have to look Randy up and see if he can help me out.
Yeah, one of the things we always want to do on the podcast is look into your 401k, see how it's doing. But Randy's always helped me both as far as like insurance, home, auto, the whole thing. He's extremely helpful. And you know, his son Ross is a longtime friend of ours. So great to have Hudson Financial Group back with us. We'll have Glenn Stretch Smith coming up in just a few moments. On the defensive end, you brought up what Deron Bland did, and it just, you know, I think this defense, Micah Parsons, and here in a second, Ed, we'll go to some of the Micah Parsons. I had a chance to interview him, certainly not one-on-one like you had with CD, had a larger group, but I was at the front and kind of leading the questioning, so I think that should count for something. It is interesting, even when he's one of the greatest players in the NFL, to be interviewing someone who's put their hood on, and the hood includes the head of a lion, and that they're in a lion suit with a tail and everything. And
for,
I think,
Halloween.
Kind of a Halloween.
Only guy in the locker room wearing a Halloween costume.
Only one that I saw. One of the great pass rushers, podcasters, and you know, just kind of a all around
confidence. To be the only one to dress up in a lion suit.
A lot of confidence. And as I understood him, he said one of the reasons he wanted one, somebody had given him or he had purchased a new chain, and he said it was like a belly scratching chain. And he needed to have like it at the right depth or length or whatever. So anyway, there he is in his lion costume. And Ed, you'll hear me in this audio coming up. In fact, let's get ready to play that right now. You'll hear me ask him, where did you come about this lion costume? Here is our visit with Micah Parsons after the game.
Has to feel better after a win to don this.
Oh, of course. You know, I think, you know, every week is we're trying to go get a win, but when you win the way we did today, you feel good about it.
See Sam taking advantage of his opportunities. What were your thoughts about the way he got after it?
Oh, I'm always happy for Sam. You know, that's like my little brother. I be trying to keep him on straight. That's the thing. When I tell him that he's worried about his opportunities and when things are limited, I was like, man, you just got to prevail. I've been through every phase of this journey. Like, I mean, I came in and I played a lot, but in college I had to wait my turn. Like, you just always got to wait your turn. It don't always happen now for everybody. And he realized that, and he's just been practicing hard, and it's just been translating to the game.
The offense is putting up points in that first half, but kind of maybe lost in that. You guys go pick six, three and out, three and out, three and out, 12 pressures on Stafford. Just talk about the success you guys were able to have early on.
Yeah, you know, it always makes it easier. And I always say that, every phase helps each other. With the offense scoring, they got to keep going down and trying to score. They can't just run the ball. They can't just milk clock and ding and dunk. They got to put pressure on us, too. And, you know, Dak helped us create opportunities on our defense.
How do you like rushing over the center, you know, when you can kind of go either way there?
Yeah, you know, it's special, you know, and it gets me away from the chips. It gets me away from when guys try to eliminate me, Quinn and ADs, and finding ways to create one-on-ones. And as you can see, anytime I'm freed up one-on-one, I can win that matchup.
Do you sometimes see their eyes get a little big in those moments?
I definitely know that's not what they want to see when they peek up when they're holding that ball, but – you know, same thing with the guard and things like that. And, well, I feel like I could rush anywhere.
When was the last time you were part of an onslaught like that, where you guys went from 7-3 to 26-3 in a blink?
Man, I feel like really the Giants week one, they felt like that too, you know.
You guys have played 3 games at home. You've dominated all 3 of them. Is the next step for this team to take its success at home, and especially going on the road to the Eagles, translating it there?
Yeah, we gotta do better on the away games. Obviously, everyone knows home field advantage is a real thing. So we gotta keep winning. We gotta keep being consistent. We can't just do it 1 week and not the next. It has to be consistent. So this would be a great opportunity to go show that.
You guys are coming off a dominant win over New England heading into the Niners week, and we know that didn't work out. What has to be different this week?
We just can't beat ourselves. A lot of people sat here and asked me and said that the team was just so much greater than us. I said no. I didn't think so. I just thought we just beat ourselves. We put ourselves in bad opportunities. We didn't get off the field. We got a chance to get off the field. A lot of penalties, a lot of big plays that we gave up that we usually wouldn't given up. And we just got to be that same way. When we got Jalen Hurts, you know, 3rd and long, we got to get off the field. We got to, you know, win on 1st and 2nd down against these very good teams because we know what they want to do on 3rd. And if they get 4th and short, I mean, we all know where they want to go with that too. So we just got to be smart and win the opportunities that we have.
Is that a week of preparation thing that you feel needs to change, or is it just within the 60 minutes of the football?
It's just within the 60 minutes of the football team. You can have the greatest game plan ever, but if you don't go out there and execute, what does the game plan really matter? You know, and that's the thing about football. You can know exactly what someone's going to do, but you got to go out there and stop it, you know.
Thoughts on Marquise Bell's progress at linebacker?
I think he's progressing well. I think he's progressing to be LB1 on his team, and he's shown that he could play in the box, especially at his weight. The league's evolving. You don't need to be 250, 260 at linebacker no more to come down and hit someone. And, you know, and it's a hybrid league now. It's so much 11 personnel, 12 personnel, but with lighter tight ends and things like that. You know, so he's fitting the league at the moat very well.
Series at all?
Yeah, I've been peeping the Rangers. I think they've been playing their butts off. You know, it's always exciting to see. I really love the Garcia story. Saw some more about that. You know, that's always amazing to see. The triumph, the down and out, not giving up. Keep going, and finally get your break. You know, that's always important, you know, because to him, it can't get any worse. You know, he's been in the minors. He's been released on different teams, and now he's shown what hard work is really capable of. So it's always amazing to see.
What kind of baseball player are you?
What type of baseball player am I?
Where are you?
Where are I? You know, I'm like Babe Ruth, Barry Bonds. You know, that's no question. That thing's out the park. Now anything, and you know, I could play defense. I was outfield, shortstop. My shortstop career ended a little early, but outfield, you know, I was chasing stuff down. Like, that was me, for sure.
Where do you get a Lions costume these days?
You can get, I don't know. I had my mom go grab it for me, you know, especially when I get a little lazy. She went, actually, believe it or not, she went and got this costume because I had just got my tummy rub chain yesterday. My guy Christian had made it for me. He came down for the game and gave it to me. I was like, Mom, I can't just wear my chain. Like, I haven't been dressing up. And I feel like this would be a good thing to always pull up. My lion's always hungry. I need you to go find me a lion costume. And she went and did it. That's why I love her, man.
What's your Halloween plans?
My Halloween plans? I'm actually about to go take my son to a pumpkin patch and really just enjoy my time with my family.
Should you get him a Cub outfit?
Nah, I didn't get him that. He wants to be a football player. If he wears my jersey and they done gave him his gloves, he's like, I'm just like you now. Like, that's all he wants to be, so it's always great to see.
You gonna wear that out in public?
Hell yeah. What they gonna say to me?
Thanks.
All right, and Ed, as we continue on, good stuff there from Micah. That was interesting that even Dak early, we're talking about Dak and what he did, when they got that on that negated that 3rd sack was a – it was safety Quentin Lake, I think, that was called for that. and it just opened. I mean, at that moment, something just clicked, and they went 77 yards down the field, and it was just like all that. At the first, it was kind of like, uh-oh, this is going to be ominous, and it was just all over from there.
I know. You would never have expected, looking at those first few snaps, that the Cowboys were going to have maybe their best day on offense of the season in this particular game. I can't think of how many times a single holding penalty or a sack ruins an offensive possession, and the Cowboys overcame two of them that counted. Of course, getting the third down penalty, first down by penalty is a substantial break and prolong the drive. But the fact that they were able to show enough character and resolve and settle everything down and come back out of that immediately and perform and execute on a down-by-down basis and take the lead. I mean, that's another hallmark of this team, right? We have not yet seen them come from behind to win a game yet. They have led from start to finish. Is it in every game that they've played this year? I guess the Chargers went back and forth, maybe. Maybe the Charger game that went back and forth. I think the Chargers scored. They might have been behind the Chargers. But for the most part, this is a team that's been a great front runner, and we haven't seen it show the ability to overcome substantial adversity, but they certainly did in that first drive. You never would have thought, like I said, that this was going to be, after that first three plays, Dak's best game of the year.
Yeah, it didn't seem like that was coming. And the one thing, Ed, I thought we should discuss too is Jerry reiterated he does not think they will do anything at the trade deadline. Now, he's been all over the place because at first he said, oh, they'll have to come to us. We're not going to call anybody. Then he said, well, if they come at us, if they want to fire at us, we'll be ready kind of thing. Today he reiterated that, again, this was not him saying they were going to do a trade. He said, if you were going to say, where do we lack the most depth right now? It is on the offensive line. He came out and admitted that, what we all know. And today, as we mentioned, they lost Adoga, and they came in with Asim Richards, as you alluded to. I don't know what we'll find out about Chuma. I don't know what we'll find out about Tyron Smith moving forward. You would think he would be back in the lineup. But Jerry's point, which I think is a fair one, is that a lot of other teams could say that right now, that they wish they had more depth along the offensive line. I just think the Cowboys are a team that it's a boom or bust kind of deal. Like they can go from being a really functional, seemingly excellent team at times to not being able to function at all in a heartbeat, where other teams seem to kind of be able to get by when they lose certain players.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen at the trade deadline. I don't think there are any quality offensive linemen being offered in a league where there are too few to begin with. But I would say that, to me, I was at the Star on Thursday when Jerry showed up at practice and then walks down the length of the field purposefully with the intent of talking to the media and having his picture taken and people tweeting. And he addressed the trade deadline, and he did it for a reason. Like, it didn't just happen. He wanted the word out around the league that while he might not be initiating calls, don't mistake that for a lack of willingness to listen. He wants other teams to call him because he thinks if he makes the call, the price goes up. He'll lose leverage. But I think they're willing to listen, and I think it's possible they make a deal. They tried to get Brandon Cooks at the trade deadline last year and couldn't make it work financially. And so who knows what could happen if they'd had him last year instead of at the start of this year. I think there are places. Do they need a corner? They could probably – I thought Jordan Lewis played pretty well today in the slot. I mean, Cooper Kupp had his second worst day of his career today. And Puka Nacua didn't exactly go off, and he's the NFL's leading receiver. So – I think they're good with Stephon Gilmore. I know there's concern talking to the coaches about his ability to carry receivers across the field horizontally and not give up, big yards after the catch. But they really emphasize making the tackle at the completion in this game today. And I thought, for the most part, they did a pretty good job of that. Could they use a running back? a power back? Maybe. Are they gonna pay Derrick Henry to do that? I don't really think so. Maybe a linebacker to replace some depth that they lost there, not knowing how long, you know, Leighton Vander Esch is going to be out. He's on IR, so minimum 4-game miss for him. And he's missed half that now. So, yeah, I think there are some moves they could make, but I think they're going to be pretty judicious. I think they do. When Jerry says, I like my team, it's a high bar. I think he's being sincere in that.
All right. That's going out on a limb.
And I also wonder,
Jerry's
this,
being sincere.
We really haven't talked about the DeMarcus Ware and the Ring of Honor and all that, but you mentioned Jerry's introduction to him. He called him DeMarcus Lawrence instead of DeMarcus Ware, which made me wonder, well, when he's a general manager, he's on the phone talking trade, does he ever misidentify the guy he's trying to trade for? Could that possibly happen?
I think the answer is yes. And you know,
that's just my sarcastic look at that.
No, we get it and we like it. I'm just saying that was the least surprising thing to me that happened the entire day was him calling DeMarcus Ware DeMarcus Lawrence, and people seemed to get a big kick and all that. But again, that's just Jerry. He caught himself quickly. He was fine, but it was funny to watch Ware's face because Ware's, it's this big day, big honor, and he's like, "We're happy to welcome DeMarcus Lawrence into the Ring of Honor."
Check to make sure they put the right guy's name up.
Well, they do it now with like a video ribbon. I liked it better when they they actually have names up there. Yeah, where they put
it on this side beneath us, so we can't really see it. But it is correct. I was just joking about that. But
we're on the silver level right now, by the way.
In suite 483. If you're in the area.
I know, let's not. I'm not sure we want to like give the suite.
Is it 463?
People will be stopping
maybe
by.
It's 423.
It's 680, actually. But
I'm dyslexic sometimes.
Thank you to the Nation family. We have loved being in the suite, and Angela, who kind of is the head of this suite, she does a great job, and we have enjoyed that. Now, it is time to visit with a gentleman who worked for the Cowboys as a scout and a coach, and he has a lot of opinions, and he will be passing out his grades. I have a feeling these will be very positive grades. It is Glenn Stretch Smith. All right, it is Glenn Stretch Smith, and Stretch can be seen WFAA Channel 8, our ABC affiliate in Dallas-Fort Worth this evening and every Sunday night at 10:30 talking about the Cowboys. And Stretch, I thought it would be interesting. When the Cowboys season is not going on, last couple of years you have been a coach in the USFL and you've seen a lot of interesting players there, and two of them have become stars of the Cowboys special teams. And whether it be the returns today, the 58-yard field goal, I would say other than one of those kicks getting wiped out by a holding penalty on Nashon Wright, I mean, this could have been one of the greatest special teams days in a long time around here.
Yeah, I mean, it is fun to watch those guys. And obviously, I coached for the Philadelphia Stars, and they were both – one of them was with the New Jersey Generals, Turpin, and then the kicker was with the Birmingham Stallions. But it is good to see those guys come up to this next, you know, to the NFL level, have success, and be, you know, really what I would consider to be true difference makers for the Cowboys special teams. I thought the special teams today overall really played well. They got the block punt. It's really good. It's good to see all three phases of the game play well for the Cowboys. And I thought that what you saw Fossil's unit do today was a complete effort. They absolutely really took the football game over with the blocked punt and then the big return off of the safety there. So, I mean, back-to-back plays really tilt the field, shift the football game in the favor of the Cowboys. And you got to give credit to those young men for, you know, kind of playing at that level. It's kind of that, mentality of, hey, I'm going to get my shot. They got their shot. They stepped up and got it done. So good for those guys and good for Bones Fossil and an A all the way around for the Cowboys special teams.
Bones Fossil getting it done and early candidate on my ballot for special teams coach of the year. Cowboys win it 43-20. Stretch, let's talk about the quarterback a little bit. Dax ends up 25 of 31 for 304 yards and four touchdowns. Ran the ball when he needed to, threw on the run, and certainly he seems to have a very good thing. After CeeDee Lamb was very frustrated a few weeks ago, he's bounced back, and he and Dak seem to have a really good combination, some chemistry right now. But also, Stretch, you're a guy who likes to look at tight ends. In fact, that's the position you coached in the USFL in over the years, in fact. It seemed like Dak had a really good connection with not only CD, but his tight ends today.
Yeah, and I agree with you. The first touchdown he threw in the seam to Ferguson is a good, you know, hey, he caught him in Tampa too. He caught the Mike linebacker trying to run with Ferguson. Ferguson, you know, outran him through the seam. Good throw, good catch. Got him in an eight-man box one time through a slant to CeeDee Lamb for 17. And when you look at the quarterback, it looks like he's getting a better grasp of running the offense and running the offense from the line of scrimmage. I mean, he's making some checks. He's seeing what the defense is doing and looks to be more comfortable in this offense. And I'm not taking anything away from him. You got to give him all the credit in the world here. What I'm going to tell you is if they cannot run the football any better than they're running the football right now, you're going to run up against much better secondaries in Philadelphia, much better secondaries like you did against San Francisco. And I think that's a situation where they have got to get to where they're better at running the football. I like that Dak, again, is keeping plays alive with his legs, kept his eyes down the field, was able, like you said, make some throws on the move. Obviously, Tyron was out. He started a Adogo over there, had to come back later in the game. He got hurt, and they came back later in the game with Richards. But I did think that overall the Cowboys' offensive line protected better. Now, you're going to say, well, golly, the first three snaps, they sacked him twice. Yeah, and then once they kind of got in the flow of the game, got used to where Aaron Donald was moving, I thought they did a decent job there. Good for Dak in those situations for keeping his feet, you know, what I would consider, you know, in a position where he could move around and do some things in the pocket. Offensively, this is a good football team. I just think they've got to get to where they can run the football. The offensive line, I mean, I gave the offensive line a B. I gave the quarterback a B. I gave the running backs a C, and I gave the receivers a B. So overall effort here offensively was what you want to see. And they went out and handled business coming off of an off week where it looks like, again, this Cowboys offense is starting to feel more comfortable checking at the line of scrimmage and making some plays down the field. I'm going to point this out, though. If they're going to win the East and they're going to win the division, they've got to do a better job of running the football.
All right. And do you think that is a decision they made that, hey, we're just going to throw it and we're not really going to commit to the run? I mean, Pollard ends up 12 carries for 53 yards. Or did you see them try to enough? Rico, 5 carries for 18 yards, where it just didn't look right to you. Obviously, they're averaging about 3.9 yards a carry. That's not good enough. Does it just look like the holes and everything are not there right now?
Well, I mean, they're taking what the defense is giving them right now. They're saying, hey, you know what, if you're gonna line up in an eight-man box and stack these guys in here, we like our outside chances better. What I'm telling you is when you get against better secondaries and you get against secondaries, yeah, that can play certain coverages, you must be able to impose your will. And you know, I don't like saying it a lot because it feels like I'm sitting here giving you coach speak, and there's another guy on the air and the radio here in Dallas who does a bunch of that coach speak riff raff. So I try not to get into that. I try to just say, I think the Cowboys have got to get better with their run schemes. And when I'm saying their schemes, they've got to run something beside inside zone read. They did run a flip one time today. I like that. They got 8 yards getting the ball outside. I think they've got to continue to explore running some toss, running some things to get the football outside, and then be able to run some draws and some things off of their pass action or their play action, what they're doing right now.
And perhaps they'll get Tyron back this week, and maybe that'll help them function a little bit better. But your point is well taken. On the defensive side of the ball, Micah did some things. They certainly had a ton of pressures early in the game. Matthew Stafford ends up hitting his finger, I believe that was on Mozzie, and had to eventually leave the game after they threw to him, by the way, which he seemed like he injured his finger even more after that. He did not come back in that game after they'd made it 33-17 and seemed to have a bit of momentum. Let me start, though, with Deron Bland. That big pick six that put them up, I believe that was like 17-3 at that point. What'd you see on that play? Bland just kind of had that thing all the way. I think that was Cooper Kupp out there. And Cooper Kupp ran an out, and the ball was left inside. That was the easiest pick six that Bland will have it throughout his career.
Yeah, you know, they showed a bear look, which is they're covering all five up front guys. He needed to get the football up. They tried to run a little switch route look out there with Kupp. Bland read it, stepped in front of it, picked the football off, and went for a pick six. What I like was immediately then the Cowboys came back on the next series knowing that they could cover all five. They weren't turning the protection. They were just kind of – you know, base protecting at 5-on-5. And they lined up Parsons over the center. He whips the center, gets him in Stafford into a, you know, a rush. Got to get the football out right now. He hits his hand. I thought that what Dan Quinn is doing is putting his players in position to be successful, whether that's Bland, whether that's Parsons, whether that's Lawrence. I mean, you see Bell moving around, doing some things. See the safeties in position to come support the run. This is a damn good defense. I mean, and I think this is, you know, everybody's going to see the big numbers that Dak threw for, but I still say that defensively, that's what won you the football game, being able to obviously get them in position where they've got a punt backed up, you block the punt. We've gone over that already, but I really like defensively what the Cowboys are doing. And I think Bland he's done a heck of a job stepping in there. And with Diggs being down, I mean, he's taking that right side over. And, you know, he's got some of that gamble in him that Diggs has. I mean, he's not afraid to jump a few routes. Now you're gonna take the good with the bad. At some point, he'll get beat on a double move. They all do. But what I like is he's not afraid to gamble at the right time of the game, makes the pick six, and scores. All the way around to me, when you look at this offense, I think the Rams offense can do a lot of things to you. I mean, you saw them line up in a quads look where they got four receivers to one side when they threw that touchdown on that dig. I can't even pronounce that receiver's last name. When they pronounced it, I thought the guy had sneezed. But, you know, they got it in the quads look, and I think Dallas will adjust to that. But this is a good offense. I mean, this is an offense that can cause you some problems, and obviously Stafford is accurate with the football. But they just said, hey, we're going to play to our strengths. We're going to get after the quarterback, and when we get our opportunities, we're going to go try to, you know, make a pick and gamble in that situation. All together, A all the way around the board for the Dallas defense.
All right, and there's something I wanted to bounce off of you. In the post game, I was talking to Micah Parsons, and he made the statement that he said Marquise Bell is on the way to becoming our LB1. You know, obviously meaning their number one linebacker. He's not your stereotypical or prototypical big guy. I mean, I think he plays at about 215 or something like that, or 218. Are you starting to see him really kind of slide into that role, though, of their best linebacker?
Well, I mean, again, they're going to exploit that now. And I'm saying you're going to get some teams that are going to run the football at him. And I think that Dallas will have to kind of keep him stacked in. And I'm saying stacked in where you can't just release the guard on him and get to the second level. I give a lot of credit to the defensive coordinator for this, because he really is. He's a safety playing. He's a box safety playing down in there as a linebacker. Do I want to do that all year? Probably not. But I think that right now what you're seeing is teams are having an issue again with that, with their schemes releasing directly on him. I think that it is a big deal when Van Der Esch is out. But I like Clark. I think he's turned into a heck of a football player. I think you're seeing some guys that are having to be pushed out front here, that it's only going to help the Cowboys in the long run when they do get their guys, you know, back and healthy. But I think to answer your question, do I want to see Bell being a linebacker for the rest of his career? If it is, you've got to kind of hide him schematically with what he can do.
All right. Stretch, I appreciate it. Always look forward. And I know you love a good Halloween costume post game. And I want to let you know that Micah Parsons had a lion uniform, a lion costume on after the game with a tail and the lion's head and the whole shebang. I thought you would appreciate something like that.
Yeah, I do. I'm trying to figure out what costume you're wearing today. I don't know what it is. I can't tell you your mop. I don't know what you got going. I mean, you got yourself, I don't know if you got a haircut or not or what you're doing, but it's a good look right now. I mean, you got
Thank you.
A costume going there.
I appreciate that. I thought you would like these glasses. They're kind of a tortoise shell type look, and a very learned man, as you know, and just a man who's suffering from his alma mater, struggling mightily. But
I'll say this. I mean, I watched a few snaps of that, and yeah, they're playing about like your hairdo looks right now, which is bad. So you've got yourself a good parallel working.
Yep. I mean, they haven't quite driven me to drinking, but they're working on it. Is really where it's where it's headed.
I think, you know what, Mosley, I think that should be the motto. You don't know right now with the way the Bears are going. You're not sure if you need a frontal lobotomy or you need a bottle in front of me. I like it.
Hey, make sure you give a shout out to the guy filling in. Has done an incredible job producing for us. That is old Steven Simcox from just outside of Waco, Texas. Please give him a shout out.
Hey, we always appreciate his efforts and being a team player. So, no question about it. Hope Ed is that everything's going well with Ed too. I try not to forget him and his issues with American Airlines. We want to make sure he's doing good.
Ed is a man that wakes up looking to see who he wants to fight that day, and I just pray it's not me. Is kind of how I go about that. Thank you, Stretch.
Sorry to bother you.
There he goes, Glenn Stretch Smith with Stretch Plays. All right, Ed, and let's get prepared to to talk about the Eagles, even though Jerry won't. And Dak was not, he was not reluctant to talk about it, but Jerry did not want to do that. And I think part of it is what happened with that 49ers game. Before we do that, I did want to say thank you to Marable Homes, M-A-R-A-B-L-E. Oh, man. Timeless, classic homes, approachable luxury homes. Ed, that's kind of like your home out there in Flower Mound. Very approachable. Okay, I've never been invited, but if I were invited, I think I would feel good about approaching your house. They build these homes in Lake Highlands, Preston Hollow, Park Cities, Lakewood, Forest Hills, Richardson, and Cedar Creek Lake. And some of these lake houses that are being built now are so cool and so beautiful right out on the water. And I'm just telling you, you would absolutely love some of these homes. I see the ones going up in Lake Highlands, and when they go up, they just seem to fit into the neighborhood. Sometimes you see people build houses, Ed, and they're so, and you've seen it out there by that Tour 18, out there near where you live, and they'll build these monstrosities, and you're like, hey, could we just fit into this neighborhood? Did we need to do that? And these homes are gorgeous, and the custom, I mean, they'll kind of do what you want, but love these homes and love the Marable family. And also they have Baylor ties, Ed, as you might anticipate, and we're there for Baylor homecoming.
I did not know that.
Which was a tough loss for the old Bears to the Iowa State Cyclones. So we'll keep you up to date, and I can't wait to show you some of these homes. In fact, Ed and I are thinking about doing like a tour of homes, and we'll be going around. Ed, would you enjoy that?
I think I would.
Going on like a tour of homes.
My wife watches a lot of flip shows and real estate related shows. So yeah, I think it'd be something I'd be interested in.
Yeah, love to have you over there. In fact, they're on the Lake Highlands tour of homes, the Marables, their personal home, which is really cool. All right, Ed, let's get to it. Let's do what Jerry won't do. Let's look at the Eagles. I watched them a little bit today. I will say that A.J. Brown was awesome in that game, and he made some great catches, contested catches in the end zone. In the two games, he's basically combined for somewhere in the neighborhood, two games against the Commanders, for about 340 yards and four touchdowns. All right, he's been awesome against them, and he was again today. Jalen Hurts doing his thing. And again, Ed, this is not, though, some kind of juggernaut. They've struggled to win. They have not been blowing people out lately, and they struggled to hold on and beat the Commanders today in Washington. I don't think the Cowboys are going to see like some kind of knockdown drag out like, oh, will the Cowboys have a chance? I would predict the line on this game will be Philly by 4 or 5.
That's what I think, yeah.
Somewhere in that neighborhood.
Yeah, I thought a couple of interesting things from the game today. You know, the Eagles have been turning the ball over. Jalen Hurts has more turnovers this season already than he had all of last year when he led the Eagles to the Super Bowl. They lost two fumbles inside the Washington 3-yard line today, including one on the brotherly shove play. Somebody finally stopped that play and took the ball away. And I know the Cowboys and Dan Quinn really practiced for that particular play last year, going into the Philadelphia game, which the Philly game up there, they did not have Dak. That was the last game he missed after injuring his hand in the opener against the Bucs. So Cooper Rush started that game. The Cowboys have played well against Philadelphia when they've had Dak. So this is an early season matchup of Jalen Hurts and Dak Prescott that we have not been treated to in recent years. In Philly, very hostile atmosphere, very difficult place to play. You're right about the receivers. Devontae Smith's a speed guy. Goddard, the tight end, is a good player. And who knows what the Eagles might do between now and the trade deadline. I mean, they just made a trade, you know, last week. for a very good safety with the Tennessee Titans, Kevin Byard, who is among the interception leaders at his position in recent years. So I think the Eagles are formidable. I think for the Cowboys, they cannot lose this game. They can't go into the season thinking it's us, it's the Niners and the Eagles. And when they play both of the other two teams, they lose to both of them. So I think, just like I said, for their psyche, it was important that they play well and beat the 49ers, and they did neither of those things. To me, that just doubles the importance of those two elements in this game at Philadelphia.
So you don't see a scenario where they play pretty well and play them to a close game but lose, and you feel okay about the Cowboys?
Not really. I mean, you got to be able to beat the good teams. Like I said, they've played six games against teams that are under 500. And they've played three of them here and blown them all out and scored on defense and dominated the games on defense. I think they need to go grind out a win against a true top two or three team in the conference. Otherwise, I don't like their chances of beating the Eagles here in the rematch.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that. I mean, and again, they would fall to two games back.
And lose a tiebreaker.
Yeah, so this could be a situation where they force a tie, have the tiebreaker. There's a lot on the line, and this will be the Fox game of the week. And Ed Werder, you know, he loves these games. The man loves to travel. And, in fact, even during a bye week, ESPN said, "I'm sorry, Ed, we know this could be a bye week for you, but we're going to have you on the road on a Thursday and a Sunday." In fact, Ed, the bye week turned into even extra work for you. But you're a man who likes to get out on the road. You like to do these games. You love it. We love having you. And, Ed, this was a triumphant day for the Cowboys. Next week will be very interesting and a rare day that we get a noon start. The only one of the year, right?
Only home noon start. I think at Carolina they might play.
They might have a new one
in a couple of weeks. And before I get the sense you're signing us off, and as you should, and as you do so well. But before you do that, should we mention Brandon Aubrey? Brandon Aubrey's 58-yard field goal, the longest of his career, third longest kick by a Cowboys rookie behind Brett Maher's 62 and 59-yarders in 2018. The guy's made every kick so far. What if he has – I want to see him kick for the game in Philadelphia in the final seconds with his streak in tow, the game on the line.
Yeah.
He's been remarkable.
Yeah, I've got no desire to see that. 58 yards, though, and I'm telling you, these kickers now make that look like nothing. I think the kicking is as good as it's ever been from distance. I now think the 50 to 55 is what we used to think of the 45 to 50.
Right.
And I think most
– indoors on turf.
Yeah. I think most kickers are juicing now.
and if they're not, they should be wearing a lion suit.
Halloween. Yeah. And that was one lion suit that reminded me of the actual Wizard of Oz lion. You know, you think back to the old, like, 1930s movie with Judy Garland as Dorothy. But good to have Micah on the show today. Great to have Ed Werder, Glenn Stretch Smith, and our fearless producer, Stephen Simcox from McLennan County, Texas.
He's just glad to be done before 2 a.m.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he
came in right on some primetime games.
I've tried to remove his interim tag, and he does not seem to be interested in that. So I just got to wait till the end of the week and go, "Oh, we do need you again." Great to have Steven. Thank you, Ed. Good work.
Good stuff.
Good work. We appreciate it. It is the Doomsday Podcast. We'll see you next Sunday evening as we react to Cowboys and Eagles. Good night, everybody, from Arlington, Texas.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet. Well, then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
Hey, it's Mark Goodman.
And I'm Alan Light.
On today's podcast, Record Store Day founder Carrie Colleton is joining us to discuss the April 20th RSD special releases.
Plus, we'll talk live with our audience, the Sound Up Pod Squad, and find out who still listens to vinyl. And some updates from the Beatles universe.
Oh, good. Sound Up with Mark Goodman and Alan Light, the only music podcast that matters. Get it on Pandora, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.